This segment of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Houston's a member. I'm a member. You should be a member, too. They've been helping their members grow financially in this area for 85 years. Join up. They're helping their members grow upward and forward right here in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. tvacreditunion.com. Apparently this decision was so tough, Rick Barnes' wife finally just said, "I'm tired of it, just make a decision."
A lot of people are mad at us for talking about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What do they want us to talk about?
I don't know. But I asked if Rick Barnes made his job harder on himself and got a tweet that says, "No, the media in Knoxville sucks and is overly critical of coaches in general because you've learned there's a market for it."
Yeah, man. There it is.
That's it.
There it is.
That's it. This is all for clicks on the internet.
Yep. That's it.
We should just read box scores. That's what the people want. Get out of here. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Maybe it's our fault
your coach doesn't want you.
Yeah.
Is the top
story. Go ahead
story.
And lash out at the children.
Quit talking about it and it'll go away.
This is the top story on 24/7 Sports.
Like all of it.
Yeah.
Not Tennessee's page.
Like the website 24/7. Like this is the top story they have.
So a company that's branded itself as a 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week sports hub has this as its top story. But us right here at Ground Zero shouldn't talk
about
it.
We're just stirring
that sounds,
the bleep.
That sounds about right. You found the Sunshine Pumpers. You have found the Vol for Lifers, Chris. You found them. Congratulations.
It is what it is, man. Like, if UCLA had had the money, he was gone.
I mean, the Sam guy's on the opposite side. I could read his tweet.
No, I mean, that's what makes...
I can give the polar
opposite.
This
is always what happens. Everybody's just so mixed. Like,
right.
There are some people who kind of, stay in the middle, and it's not that big of a deal, but it's not great. I think that's typically where we kind of fall. Some people are furious at Rick Barnes and have completely disavowed, and some people are still defending Rick Barnes, saying that anybody talking about this is making it a bigger deal than it is. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it is kind of a big deal. Like, this does open avenues for, I've said it already like five times today, like other programs are going to say, "Well, are you sure he's going to be there?" And that's one of the worst things you can do as a coach, is open up any window for another university to recruit against you. Now, again, this goes away if he says it was just UCLA, that was the only one I'd ever consider. I'm a lifer at Tennessee. I plan to retire here. He did say he's glad he's not going to have to do this again. The contract extension, the money, makes it very hard for another school to come in. I don't know what the buyout will jump up to, but I imagine it'll take a significant bounce also. Instead of $5 million, it'll probably now be $7.5 million for somebody to come hire him away. Like, that's what Philip Fulmer's doing, and that's the right move. You're locking everybody else out while keeping your guy for the next, 4, 5, 6 years until he wants to retire. Then you can go through this process when you're prepared, when you have a plan, and when there's ample time on the clock for you to conduct a basketball search. I just hope that Rick Barnes didn't railroad himself a little bit yesterday with these comments, because maybe you don't care, but this did not endear him to anyone. It may have alienated him in the eyes of many, but nobody, I don't think, is thinking, "Man, yeah, I am definitely so much more in on Rick Barnes today than I was the day before," with these comments. You can say you appreciate the honesty. That doesn't mean you like what he said. You just like that he was honest.
Right.
So, again, I don't know what good comes of this other than the fact that you kept him and you've probably locked other people out. But he did not do himself any favors with these comments. And as you talk about, a program and the future and building and recruiting and so on and so forth, like, these are things that people use. This is ammo. This is talking points. This will be used on the recruiting trail both for and against. And he's going to have to answer a lot of questions. I mentioned Corey Walker. There are recruits and recruits' parents that are going to be asking Rick Barnes, "Are you sure you're going to be here?" Or are you looking to get out? Are you telling me the truth when you say UCLA was the only school that you would have left for? Is that real?
And information doesn't have to be ultimately true to matter. Like, if another coach tells a player that you're recruiting against and says, well, you know, Rick Barnes almost took that UCLA job, so he's definitely not a sure thing at Tennessee for a while. Or I mean, they could say, you know, Rick Barnes almost took that UCLA job, which is true, and then add on kind of a half lie of like, you know, we've heard he looks at Tennessee as a stepping stone. You want to go to a stepping stone program, or do you want to come to my program? I mean, and for Rick Barnes to recruit at the highest level, he's going to have to beat the mm-hmm. blue-blooded teams for mm-hmm. players. So it's really hard. It's going to be really hard now to combat that recruiting tactic. If I'm Roy Williams at North Carolina, I'm going to say, you know, Rick Barnes, he almost left for UCLA. He doesn't really view Tennessee like North Carolina. I mean, no one would ever leave North Carolina. Do you want to play at Tennessee or North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to become one of those schools, you have to beat them for players. So it would have been a lot better if Rick Barnes could have said, yeah, UCLA even came after me, but I think Tennessee has the potential to be mm-hmm. a blue-blooded program, and that's why, and I want to make it that way. That's not the truth.
And it could have been. It wouldn't have necessarily been a lie.
No, because we've got all the quotes. We'll get into it some more later. Like, he was torn. He does love this place. I believe him when he says that.
Right.
We make these comparisons to, you know, relationships and women and stuff, but in your profession, you can have three or four different places that you would enjoy working sure. any of them. It's not like soulmate territory. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get John Tweet, 865-546-8200, if you want to weigh in. What's up, Tweet?
Hello.
Hello.
I think, like, if you asked him that question and you gave a multiple choice of reasonably feasible answers, that would be the one that only the dumbest kid in class that didn't read the question right would pick. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So if you could say, like, hey, I love it, blah, 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 that's like the one you could rule out on the SAT.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the worst possible answer he could have gave to that question under those circumstances that you could possibly see him making. I don't – watching some of the local media try to spin it and defend it is beyond me. I don't know how you defend it. It was just a foot-in-the-mouth moment. You could say he was being – honest, I guess, but he was being dumb, extremely stupid.
That's where I've landed. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's like, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and whatever happens, happens. But it's just when you don't
have that's pretty stupid,
right? No, that's what I'm saying. When you don't have to say all those things and you say them anyway, yeah. Like you hurt yourself.
I agree. You like to think, hey, this isn't going to factor in, and I guess it might factor into somebody, but I would think a lot of those, I don't know how many of them, but a lot of those guys realize, hey, it is a business right. at that level, and that if not, somebody's telling them, like, hey, listen, you know, this, you're going to go to the coach that gives you the best chance to get developed, to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's dramatically changed. I mean, and some of the guys he's going after are 1 and 2 year players anyways, or at least
that's true.
I just think that's about the dumbest thing. And I don't understand. I really don't get the ones in the media that are bending over backwards in order to defend him or to try to spin it. I don't get. Is it they're trying to keep access for interviews? Or
could be.
I mean, does he give a lot of interviews?
Well, no. What I think, Tweet, is it's more that they're diehard kind of VFLer sunshine pumping readership. Wants to devour that narrative, that message that, oh no, he still loves it here. Like, you can still love Rick Barnes. So like, there's more readers with that take than I think the other, even though the other is absolutely 100% true. Right. Yes. That's a good way to put it.
I don't need my coach to love Tennessee. I don't care if they love it or hate it. I really don't. I mean, you know, either win or don't win and get out. The worship or like the he loves it here. Who cares? I mean, I think I said this to Russ yesterday, even Fake Russ.
Yeah.
Cody was on. Yeah. Is that Nick Saban probably hates Alabama, hates the people of Alabama. But what?
There's no way he likes it, right?
Have you seen him at Media Days?
Like,
but he gets what he wants and they get what they want, right?
Yep.
Right. So, why? I mean, I don't. I'm not that insecure in who I am or where I went to school and that I need them to love it. It doesn't matter to me. Just, you know, you get. He could badmouth the place in private all he wanted, call him a bunch of inbreds, whatever, whatever. I don't care as long as he wins basketball games and gets recruits in. Hey, let me ask you guys this. Why have your expectations changed because of what he said or what you're paying him? Shouldn't you – that should be the floor for that team should be the tournament every single year. Like, it should be a perennial top 15, top 25 basketball team.
Well,
it doesn't change for me, yeah, but for I can understand why it changes for some other people.
I don't know that it necessarily changed the expectations. I think it changes how people respond to the end result. Like, now there's no, well, he's a nice guy, and he's part of the community, and he loves it. Like, I just think a lot of people are now viewing this like, oh, okay, you think this is just a business? Then I'm going to treat you as just a mercenary coach, and you're going to be judged squarely on wins and losses, all the off-the-court stuff, all the community stuff, all the funny videos, like none of that matters anymore. And I think before, a lot of people probably liked that stuff and used it as a way to kind of give Barnes a pass in some situations.
Yeah, to me, the last season was it's cool to be ranked number one, but there's no trophy for it.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter. And in the end, it's like, you know, either regular season championships. I think that I don't care about those as much as others, but they do matter. Tournament play matters, and I think that's we need to kick the door down here. That, you know, there's every other almost some of the schools that have been to Final Fours compared to us. They don't care about basketball. They don't they don't take it serious. You know, it's boys, y'all be good. What a time to be alive, Knoxville.
Thanks
good
for the call.
Amen. See you, tweet.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Brock up next. Brock, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys, first time I've ever called in. I'm a pastor here locally, and kind of feel like I've got a little bit different take on the Barnes thing. Maybe this will come across as silly, but I think you can almost look at it like a pastor looking to go to a different church or something like that. I really think that's the way that Barnes looked at UCLA. I think he saw it looking like everything was going smooth, and that was a sign to him spiritually that that's the direction that he was supposed to go. And when the buyout thing failed, I think that was the hitch to him spiritually that said, hey, this isn't the right direction I'm supposed to go. I really don't think he's at a place in his life where it's a money decision. I think he just started looking at it thinking, okay, everything's going well. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then when that hitch came for him, he perceived that like this is a sign from God that this ain't the thing. And so when that hit and he perceived that as, okay, God's calling me to stay in Knoxville, I think to stand before people and to tell people that God's called him to stay here is a pretty good sign that he feels like he's supposed to be here and be here for a long haul. I mean, I wouldn't be comfortable telling the church, you know, the church I serve, standing before them on a Sunday morning and saying, hey, God's called me to stay at Whitestone. Another church wanted me to go there, but God's called me to stay at this place. I wouldn't be comfortable telling them that unless I really felt strongly I'm here and I'm going to be here for a while. So I read through all of his comments. That's honestly the way I perceive it. I don't know, a lot of people are having a hard time with the money stuff, saying, it is all about money. I really don't think it was. I mean, and again, maybe that sounds silly or naive, but I think he almost looked at this like a pastor, and he thought he was being called there, and then it was like, nope, this isn't the thing. And so now he's here, and I'm glad he is. I appreciate the work he does in the community, and appreciate you guys' show. Enjoy listening.
Brock, thanks for the call. I don't disagree with that. The problem is because it was a money hiccup, it makes it very easy for people to point the finger as, oh, wait a minute, you feel called to stay when you found out you were going to have to fork over $5 million.
Not even that much. Too.
No, I know.
They
just
were going to help.
Well, that.
So.
But to Brock's point, though, like there are deals like this that go perfectly smooth all the time, right? Like coaches leave, and everything works smoothly. So the fact that there was a hiccup, to Brock's point, might have been all Barnes needed to say, "Man, maybe this isn't right. Maybe I am supposed to stay." It could have been the buyout. Could have been. I mean, there could be a number of things, right? It's just because it was specifically the buyout. And then he kind of said, like, if they'd had the buyout right, I was probably going to be the coach at UCLA. But then he also says things like it's not about the money. It just it muddies the water a little bit, and I think that that's kind of what a lot of people are latching onto. You know, I mean, it
Buckethead says, tell the pastor he was bumped up to $4.7 million, so the money does matter. Like,
well, I do think,
like, if Fulmer came back and said, yeah, we're not matching that. Don't you want to stay here, Rick? Don't you feel called to stay here? Like, everybody would – I mean, they would kill Philip Fulmer for that strategy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rick Barnes is cutting his own check for $5 million if Tennessee says, we just gave you an extension, buddy. We're not paying you anymore, right? Like, if the money was going to be that much more at UCLA, then Rick Barnes just goes. And I guess he would say it's a sign from God that Philip Fulmer didn't want to pony up any more money and that Randy Boyd didn't get involved. I'm not going to make a judgment on somebody about what they believe. I mean, some people believe if they hit a green light that, you know, God helped them with that. Other people, it's more
a closed parking spot at the grocery store.
Other people, you know, they have a kind of a certain situations where they believe he's involved, and some that like that. I'm not going to judge any of that, because I understand what Brock was saying. Like, sometimes it's not the specific factors that make you feel at peace with a decision. It's just all of it rolled up into something all of a sudden makes you at peace with option A or option B, and so then you're ready to make your decision. And judging the specific factors does muddy the waters and gets tough.
I think if it had been, oh, yeah, UCLA wanted me to do a year-to-year contract instead of a 3 or 5 year deal, I think that doesn't look as bad in the eyes of people who are kind of, you know, judging the comment as far as I prayed about it and I felt God wanted me to stay here. When you compare, yeah, the scenario was different, or, you know, my family didn't want to move or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are other things, but when it's they didn't want to pay the buyout and I felt like that was God telling me to stay, it seems a little easy. Like, yeah. It seems kind of like a cop-out. And it can easily be painted that way, and I think that's why people have a problem with it. Then, you know, he gets the raise. I don't know what it would have taken, you know, to make sure that he wasn't looking around again later, but, I mean, Randy Boyd, Philip Fulmer, like, they came up with this number. At that point, it didn't seem like UCLA had much bargaining power, so it seems like Tennessee just kind of chose the number and offered it to him.
Yeah, and probably overpaid.
Sure.
I mean,
but we've talked about that too. Like, now they're not going to have to, I wouldn't think, worry about this again, and they've protected themselves if it does happen, because now the buyout's even more. Okay, you want to come steal our coach? That's fine. Now, instead of a $5 million buyout, it's going to cost you $8 million, and we're going to have money to go get the next, you know, best coach that we could possibly get. So at least they've protected themselves in that regard. And again, they're seeing the money that's being made the last two seasons with sellout crowds and gear and so on and so forth. So, I mean, what he gets paid doesn't really matter to me.
Well,
I mean, he's going to be judged by those guys based on his salary, what the expectations are, so on and so forth. I think the problem people have is, I was going to go to UCLA. They didn't have the money for the buyout, and I felt like that was God telling me to stay here.
And to Brock's point, it would have been Rick Barnes could have explained it a little better if that's what he really felt like. If he felt like it was kind of a calling thing, then he probably shouldn't have been so specific about it being the buyout. He probably could have just phrased that a little better and said, it was a really tough decision. I was praying about it. There were some hitches that came up with UCLA, and it wasn't those specific issues, but I just, when I got down, you know, once my wife said, I'm tired of this, just make a decision, I found a peace with staying here because I love it here. Like, that's all he had to say. Like, he didn't need to make it all about the buyout, but I guess if that's what it, I mean, I guess if that's how strongly he believes about that factor, that's really the crux of the issue here. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's why it's important. We'll go back to the phone lines. We're going to head to the western part of the state. If Davey can get the next guy
he's
on hold.
He's over there. He's just chatting away.
Doing his call.
Talking about the weather over there? Now, we're giving you a hard time. Someone got mad at us for talking about this. This is why people are talking about this. Like, this, it does matter. There's a lot of levels here.
Yeah, I got
Sean in Memphis now.
Yeah, Sean's up. Yeah, I got the phone lines packed up.
Sean from Memphis.
Guys.
What's up, buddy?
Morning, Sean.
Thanks for taking my call. The weather's actually pretty nice over here for once. So hope y'all are doing well. I just want to, in situations like this, especially with the hysteria, the hoopla that Tennessee has been through in coaching searches as of late, I think another thing that's getting lost is that Rick Barnes is staying true to who he's been ever since he's been at Tennessee. I'm not talking about, you know, his love and all that. I firmly believe he loves Tennessee. But if you've ever noticed in the post-game press conferences, he consistently is honest to a fault. He probably says things not in the best way, not in the most well-received way. He's just brutally honest. No matter how well one of our players played, he always had a critique. No matter what type of question was asked to him during the Penny situation, he was brutally honest. He was straightforward to the point. In this situation, he did the exact same thing. I truly feel it was just simple as a guy who grew up in an era when UCLA was great. He was intrigued by the fact of going there and returning it to that standard. When things did not go smoothly, he secured himself here long term. And so either way, it was a win-win. I think if you keep things simple, which is hard to do, but I think if you keep things simple, it makes a lot of sense. Barnes just did what was logically right by him, and the way that he handled afterward is consistent with how he's been ever since he's been at Tennessee when it comes to press conferences. And I actually don't have any issue with that at all, because of the fact that at the end of the day, I love last year's team based off the people that they are, just as much as their production on the court. And if a coach can invest that amount of time and passion in developing men and players, I think that shows all that he's show how much he loves and is invested in the University of Tennessee. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Sean. He's right. I mean, that's Barnes. Like, he's just going to tell it like it is. Whether it hurts somebody's feelings, needed really to be said or not, like, he always has kind of been, you know, yeah, Bone had the game of his life. Yeah, but he had two turnovers that were really bad. It's like, yeah, but you won by 30 and he had almost a triple double. It's like, yeah, but we got to get better. You know, Sean's right,
and that's for each of us to judge how we want. Like, if Sean's happy with how the character of the guys and the makeup of the team, and he is cool with that, that's fine. I mean, to me, it's annoying. To me, it's annoying that your coach throws your players under the bus anytime they screw up, but he never takes responsibility himself when he screws up, and he screwed up a lot recently in the most pivotal moments. I mean, I like the old Dean Smith philosophy of when you win, you credit the players, and when you lose, you take the blame. That's not Rick Barnes' philosophy, and he almost got in a fight with Dean Smith at one point anyway, so maybe he's just not that type of coach. But for Sean, a fan of the team, if he likes that, then that's fine. If he would prefer to have a brutally honest coach, and that guy with that style is able to mold players into really, you know, quality young people, then I mean, obviously, I like that aspect of it as well. All right, back to the phone lines. Donnie next. Let's go to Donnie, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. What's up, Donnie?
Good morning. How you doing, fellas?
Good, Donnie.
I'm from Virginia, and I've been listening to your show for about 2 years now. I'm a big Tennessee fan, always have been. My son and my wife are big Virginia fans. Of course, they got a national championship. We were really kind of hoping to see the Tennessee-Virginia matchup, which didn't happen, but been listening to your conversation about Coach Barnes. I think he's a great coach. He's doing absolutely great things down there. Love his honesty, and I think that's, you know, what you guys need down there. You know, past coaches have not been honest with some of the things they've done and said. But I think you got a good coach down there, and for him to come out and be honest about what he said, I think that's pretty awesome. As far as the religion aspect of it, you know, if God led him to be there, I think that's awesome too. But like I say, you got a good program going down there, guys, and keep it up. And I got a feeling you guys are going to be in a national championship next year.
Thanks for the call, Donnie.
He's talking about our program, like this show, National Championship Radio Show. I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not so sure. Man. I'm not so sure this
It's
team,
amazing like, how, like, it's... It seems like everyone's just all over the map here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you either respect the hell out of the guy for just telling it like it is, or kind of like tweet, it's like, yeah, I mean, I can respect you for saying it. It doesn't make it smart.
Right.
It's like, it's too much information in a way.
Yeah.
And I, like, whether you respect, and that, I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. I think you can respect Rick Barnes for being honest and telling the truth, and also say you didn't have to tell the whole truth there. Like, you did not have to say that if UCLA pays the buyout, I'm gone. Again, like, I think he made things a little bit harder on himself. I think he made things a little bit tougher for the program than he needed to. And as you've mentioned, like, one of the jobs of a coach at any school is to protect the program, and you do that by protecting yourself, by insulating yourself, by protecting your players. And I just don't know that yesterday's comments exercised that aspect in the way maybe you hoped that he would have and certainly could have. I mean, coaches do it all the time. Maybe they were even closer than Rick Barnes was to taking another job, but they come back and they kind of play the, well, here's why this place is great. And he didn't really do that first until someone kind of propped it up later. And he was, oh, yeah, I love the community, and I love Philip Fulmer, and it's all great. And it's like, probably could have led with that.
Stephen Callahan's made a great point on Twitter. When we come back, I want to hit on that because it's more than just Barnes. It's kind of goes to the entire athletic department. We'll continue to stay on this topic. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox. We want to hear from you, hear your thoughts, because there are a lot of mixed reactions on this topic. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Nothing like Tennessee to keep the drama spinning. I used to say as the star turns for the Dallas Cowboys because there's always drama there. Nope, just Tennessee now. We've taken over. As the T turns. Stephen Callahan makes the, I mean, obviously the main crux of the argument. I appreciate everybody weighing in on that. But he makes the point of the day outside of the what side of the fence are you on? He tweeted this. Why was any in all caps, why was any of yesterday needed a full week after? All Tennessee did was stir up a week-old news story, not to mention the whole format of two press conferences. It was all 100% self-inflicted. What a show. He's absolutely right. We pointed out yesterday, I was like, this schedule's kind of weird. Fulmer's going to talk. Then they've scheduled lunch. Then Barnes is going to talk with English. Like, it's kind of strange. And you even said it. Do they need to have a press conference to announce an assistant coach?
Nope.
This is going to be about, like, they took something that they thought would be, we talked about this earlier, whether you agree or disagree with Rick Barnes' decision and what he said, it definitely wasn't good. It definitely didn't help you at all. Like you said, people can say, well, I'm glad he's honest. Well, you already knew he was honest. That didn't help. He didn't endear himself to anyone more so yesterday. So UT basically, and I've seen media members, and I think correctly so, say that Rick Barnes doesn't care about PR. That's fine too. But Tennessee should care about PR.
Yep.
Tennessee, the entity, the athletic department, Philip Fulmer, you should care about public relations. This is your job. They could have just not done yesterday at all. They should have just taken the day off. Kim English Should have just been happy with a press release. Hey, we hired Kim English. He's going to be great. Moving on. They just pulled out the gun and blew a toe off for no apparent reason.
Winning is fragile.
So even though yesterday we talked a lot about how, well, at least with Philip Fulmer, you know they're trying. And I even said, like, he's going to make some mistakes, but at least – well, yesterday was a mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe not by him necessarily, but whoever decided that having this press conference set up was a great idea. You know what would be a great idea? Let's talk about how much Rick Barnes loved Tennessee and spurned UCLA. That'll be awesome. Pat Forty, smoke this. Like, our coach loves us more than UCLA. And the coach walks out and says, I love UCLA more than Tennessee, but there was $5 million and God wouldn't get me over that hump.
Yep.
Am I the crazy one here? I'm not crazy,
no.
Right?
That's what happened.
I feel like UT Athletics gaslights its own fan base. It makes us think, wait, are we crazy? Because I feel like you're crazy, but by thinking that, it makes me feel like I might be crazy. Wait, Shy Tuttle fell on a helmet? What? Your players are beating each other up and everything? What the hell is going on here?
I want positivity.
Am I crazy? No, you're crazy. And then you're in that Spider-Man meme where you're pointing at each other.
Mm.
That's the point of the day, like, outside of the obvious.
I'm trying not to focus on, like, the relationship analogy here because I do think it is business and it is different.
I got a great DM on that one.
But yesterday should have been the victory lap of we kept our coach.
Right.
And that's not what it was.
Because your own coach burned that narrative to the ground. It's like they didn't prep Rick Barnes. Hey, Rick, we're celebrating the fact that you love us more than UCLA. Can you answer questions
in that
way?
Or that we did enough to keep you. You know, like, it should have been.
It's like he didn't get the memo. It's like he missed an email somewhere.
Like, yesterday should have been UCLA came at Rick Barnes, and we ponied up, and we did everything we could to keep him. The community rallied around him, and he realized how much he's loved here, and he's excited, blah, 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 blah. And it kind of ended up being, all that's true, and I do love it here, but, man, that UCLA job would have been pretty awesome. And it's like, no. It just didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen that the hang-up was money, and that was it. It should have been something like, I weighed both programs, where they are right now, what I have at Tennessee, what we're building at Tennessee, the future, and I just think this is the place for me. Then Philip Fulmer and Randy Boyd came together to make me feel, you know, financially safe, me and my family. Like, this was – everything just made sense to stay at Tennessee. And instead we got – I grew up loving UCLA, and that gig would have been awesome. Would have been a dream job. But they just couldn't pay me enough money in regards to the buyout. That's what it became, and it didn't need to be that. Because we talked about what Fulmer said during the Orange Mike game, and he made it sound like, you know, UCLA came to steal our coach, and we put our foot down and said, nuh-uh, not here. You don't come and steal our best coaches. But now you have to add on the .. unless you have enough money for the buyout.
Yeah, if it's Texas A&M, he's gone, because Texas A&M ain't playing.
They're printing money.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. And that's where I go back to the business aspect of it is in recruiting. In the business of basketball now, you have, I don't want to say damaged your program, but you've made it a little bit easier for people to plant doubt in the minds of recruits. You've turned a lot of diehard fans and supporters, I don't want to say lukewarm, but they're not at a roaring boil right now. They're kind of like, oh, wait, I don't know how to feel. All this goes away if he makes a Elite Eight or a Final Four next year, right? Like, then it's, okay, well, now it's just basketball and everything's good. But my fear is that if things go slightly poorly next year and you don't get out of the first weekend of the tournament, that the volume turns up. And then it becomes, wow, we gave him all this money. We offered him all this free food. We did everything we could to keep him here and keep him happy. And now this is the product you give us. Then it gets turned back on Philip Fulmer. There's already people who say he's overpaying and he's stupid for the extension and the contract. So that's my angle, because like Tennessee did. Like they gave him a lot of money, and maybe they didn't need to, and maybe they did, but now the fans kind of have some ammo if things don't go well. They can point the finger at Philip Fulmer. They can point it certainly at Rick Barnes, and you just didn't need to do that. You didn't have to put yourself in the crosshairs yesterday. You could have just said, Rick Barnes is staying. Here's the contract. He releases a statement saying, you know, that's looked over carefully by PR people at Tennessee. You say, hey, by the way, Kim English is on board. We're excited to have him. Here's why. And no press conference. Instead, you let him get up there and answer questions. And I think the questions were fair.
Sure.
I mean, the media did their job. I don't think they were trying to stir it up. I think they were just genuinely curious. What kept you here? And instead of touting the greatness that is Tennessee, you said, well, UCLA was broke. It's just not exactly like the warm fuzzies.
If I was coaching in Tennessee, I would love the fact that the fan base cares if I'm a good person, cares if I create players that are good people, cares about some things other than the wins and losses. And the problem is Rick Barnes and the persona that he puts off, Tennessee fans loved that until yesterday. They loved all that. He took that extra goodwill, which I know wins and losses are ultimately most of it. But a lot of times, especially in basketball, you end a season in kind of a gray area. In kind of a, well, it's a pretty good year, but maybe not quite where we wanted to be. But it wasn't that bad. I mean, hell, Butch Jones did that, 3 years in a row? He finished it in a gray area where some people championed him and some people were like, fire him. I mean, somehow he had both that run at the same time. And what you do in situations like yesterday determines where people are on that scale if you finish in the gray area when it comes to wins and losses. And what Rick Barnes did yesterday is he removed a lot of the goodwill for a lot of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wins and losses will ultimately be everything. But in the meantime, it changes perception based on how you handle the rest of it. So, I mean, I think that's what happened. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two. Chris tweets in, is it possible to love, quote, two people or universities at the same time?
Davey says yes, but they're different sports, so it's different.
Different sports?
Duke basketball, Tennessee football.
Oh, I thought you were saying Tennessee basketball, Duke basketball.
I watch Tennessee basketball and Duke football as well.
Yeah, but they never play each other. This was UCLA versus Tennessee heads up. Mm. We won, kind of. Oh, my God. I mean, they had a wide open layup to beat us at the end and just kind of brunk it off the rim. But we won. Yay.
Do we think UCLA is, like, kicking themselves for not just paying the buyout? Or paying more of the buyout.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Like, there's some figures coming out now that said they were offering him $6 million a year. Or was that going to be $6 million for the first year as an offset for the buyout?
That's what I heard. Okay. Is that they were trying to help him with the buyout. And he said, guys, I'm going to have to pay so much in taxes. This isn't the same. That the pass-through, going the money going from UCLA to Rick Barnes to Tennessee would be taxed.
Right.
And that UCLA wouldn't just pay it straight to Tennessee. Because apparently, I guess they would have to pay the whole thing in that, if that was the case. Which, that still doesn't make any sense, though. Like, why wouldn't UCLA just pay the whole thing and then try and renegotiate with Barnes and say, hey, we need to pay you just a little bit less than our original offer so that we can basically amortize this buyout on the back end.
Right. Oh, yeah, I don't know. And maybe that's what Rick Barnes was saying. It's like, wait, this isn't that hard, and you guys are making it way too difficult. I'm good. I'm gonna.
And he's
stay.
Got his wife sitting there going, God, I'm tired of this. Just make a decision.
Yeah, like we can't keep kicking this can down the road with the negotiations. Like, they're not trying to make it easy on you. They're playing this weird game of, we'll pay you and it'll be taxed, so let's just stay. Even if he says it that way, I don't think people are this upset. Like, it's funny to me. Like, some people are just like, hey, get off the subject. Just let it go. Other people are furious at what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting texts. I'm getting DMs. That people are mad. They're upset. And I don't think they're upset because Rick Barnes doesn't love me as much as I thought. I think they realize, why would you do this to your program? Why would you say this stuff out loud? Why would you open this box of how much does Rick Barnes really care about his job at Tennessee? How serious is he about the next 4 to 8 years? That's my issue. The relationship stuff, the Marissa Tomei, the friends, no questions asked list, like all those are funny. I'm talking basketball here. In a lot of ways, this makes Tennessee look good, right? That the athletic director and the president stepped up, that they ponied up, that they kept their guy. But when the guy had a chance to kind of celebrate that at a press conference, he kind of just said, yeah, but UCLA messed this up. That's the issue. That's why people are upset. Some are upset because, you know, they love Rick Barnes and what he does in the community. And I do too, but like, it is still a business. But this is a $1.5 million raise, and instead of getting up there and saying how great your boss is and how great the company is, you basically said, yeah, but the other company was better. They just couldn't get some things worked out. That's the problem. You kind of put some shade on Tennessee basketball, and that's where you are. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Again, appreciate the honesty, but you didn't have to be so honest. You didn't have to lie. You could have just told and highlighted different parts of this story, and none of this is happening.
I got a DM says, Barnes' comments are basically like, if you went to your wife and told her that you met up with your high school girlfriend and were really close to having an affair, and you would have gone through with it if she'd have just paid for the divorce. That's why it was a stupid, stupid comment from Rick Barnes. He could have just been more general about the whole thing. Like, we didn't need to know that it came down to that close. He could have just said, I liked you. I've always loved UCLA. I've always loved the idea of the program and the nostalgia and the mystique, and it's the greatest basketball program. I mean, hello. Tennessee's Lady Vols program is going to be UCLA in a few years unless something drastic happens. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's the school that used to own college basketball, women's college basketball. Like, so Rick Barnes saying all of that should make perfect sense to us. Then he just has to say, but so I went through the process because I loved UCLA growing up. But during that process, I realized and had a piece about staying here at Tennessee. Credit to Philip Fulmer and Randy Boyd for stepping up. And just making sure that I had that peace on the financial end. I had that peace in my life through my faith. Like, just a more general answer would have been fine.
Yeah.
And if they say, like, what was the exact question? Like, what, you know, was the – I don't even think the exact question was the buyout the deal breaker for UCLA? I mean, even if that is the question, all you have to do is say, well, there was a point where I was torn, but I ultimately decided to stay at Tennessee. That's all you have to say. And all of that's true. And in all these other comments that we're not, you know, able to get into that much because we're having to focus on the kind of killer quotes here, that's what he says. He talks about how great Tennessee is. He talks about how great the people are here. He talks about how much he loves being here.
Yeah, but that's
but
kind
you ruin it all.
They're kind of
the
throwaway lines in this transcript.
Right.
It's almost like the media got the UCLA stuff, and they were like, oh, no, talk about how great Tennessee is. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's cool. Yeah, you're pretty. You're pretty, too. That's the issue. And, the big issue, because I'm trying to focus on the business aspect of it, is that Tennessee let this happen.
Yep.
And didn't maybe say, hey, you work for us. Protect the business here.
I will ask this. Even though we know Tennessee has problems whenever it comes to handling these sorts of situations, do you feel like this was a situation in which they tried to overcorrect so much? You know, like you're going down the highway, one wheel kind of gets off a little bit, and then you overcorrect it to try to get back on, you end up flipping the car anyway?
No, I just don't think they thought about this. I don't know why they called the press conference in the first place. Like, I don't know what that...
Well, they felt they needed to be more transparent with the fans due to how they've handled situations in the years past. I don't necessarily think that's the thing. I'm just throwing that out there as an alternative.
No, I think it's a good question.
I've said that that's how we've hired coaches for years.
Yeah.
Like, I have said, use that exact, like, we get one wheel off, and then it's like, oh, God, Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley. Derek Dooley, Butch Jones. The Jerry Pruitt. Like, we always just freak out and go the opposite way. Oh, Bruce Pearl was a crazy wild man. Konzo Martin. Oh, Konzo Martin was boring and didn't really recruit that well. Donnie Tindall. And then Rick Barnes is kind of the fell into our lap coach. The issue also is this is coming off of what I think most of us would agree was a slightly disappointing end to the season.
I mean, right. If you're coming off a Final Four, who cares?
Yeah, like look, he won the Naismith Coach of the Year, and I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. I'm just saying that's great. But the season itself, outside of the few weeks you're at number one, like you kind of drifted towards the end. You know, losing the regular season championship, losing in just dramatic fashion to Auburn in the SEC tournament. And then the Purdue game, like it didn't end great. And then it's almost like, wait a minute, that was kind of on you. And now you're saying, like, it was, in a way, it feels like he's almost saying, yeah, Tennessee's just not the program that can get me there, but UCLA is. It's like, wait a damn minute.
I also, Tennessee probably did not think Rick would be that honest. Like, they know he's an honest guy, but I mean,
but that's the problem though. You have to prep a little bit.
You got to know your own people.
You have to be in his ear saying, "Hey, listen, here's some talking points you need to hit. If anyone asks you about UCLA, you can say you thought about it, but you can't sit here and tell us how great UCLA is and that damn, if they had $2 extra million, I was gone."
I agree with everything you're saying.
Like, that's the issue. Again, like, Tennessee did a lot that looks good here, keeping the coach, paying the money, proving you're committed to basketball, like, all that's good. The problem is you could have protected yourself in what would have been the easiest thing to do, right? It's hard to get $1.5 million, right? It's easy to say, hey, buddy, don't tell everyone how great UCLA is and that you would have loved to have gone there. That's the easiest thing to do. I just did it. It took me 4 seconds to say that out loud. That's all they had to do. And instead, you've got 24/7 Sports running the Rick Barnes would have been at UCLA if they'd had the buyout. That's a headline on ESPN too. Like, it makes Tennessee basketball look lesser than, and maybe it is to the eyes of most when it comes to UCLA versus Tennessee in the world of college basketball. I'm sure it is. Maybe not this snapshot moment, but long-term history, it's not even close. You didn't have to do that. You could have easily insulated yourself from all of these articles that are essentially like, wow, Rick Barnes was gone if UCLA had a couple extra million bucks. Like, just 4 seconds. Hey, brag on Tennessee, not UCLA. You're staying here. I'm your boss. We pay you. Done. And they just didn't.